Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of the Wheat Podcast, where we delve into issues that you normally would ponder about and ask yourself, hey, what is that? And today we have a very exciting guest, and we're linking it from an episode where I shared my experience with hypermesis, a word that I've struggled even pronouncing.
You did well. You did fine.
Hypermesis. And I'm honored to have Dr. Kenya here with me. Maybe you can just introduce yourself.
Yeah. Hi, guys. I'm Dr. Kenya, Amanda Kenya. I'm an obstetrician and gynecologist. And I'm honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for making the time. Because we are really curious, really curious about this topic. And I was like, I need someone to just give us another perspective.
Right.
We are blinded by our own experience. So it would be good to shed light on, even just to start, what is hypermesis? And what women are going through. I'm hoping this episode will help them understand. Because for me, in my first pregnancy, I didn't even know that word. I just knew I was sick. So I'm really excited to have this conversation. I was telling Amanda that I didn't know Kenya is her name. I thought she was just patriotic.
I am, but...
Not that much. Not with our current problems, especially. But
lot.
I'm really happy to have you here, Doc. So
thank you.
Let's just jump right into it.
So
what is hyperemesis? In fact,
gravidarum.
Tell us the full name, because that second word I can't.
Hyperemesis gravidarum.
Gravidarum.
So hyperemesis is excessive vomiting.
In pregnancy.
Just excessive vomiting. Gravidarum is in pregnancy. So excessive vomiting in pregnancy.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Nausea and vomiting in pregnancy is a spectrum, right? You can have the mild or moderate or severe form of it. Hyperemesis gravidarum, or we'll call it HG for now.
HG, HG.
That is the extreme version. It's at the extreme end of the spectrum, and so it consists of severe, persistent nausea and vomiting that's lasting for most of the day, and that can lead to dehydration, can lead to malnutrition and vitamin deficiencies that can affect you and the baby.
That's very interesting to know, because when I first got pregnant, I just knew people have morning sickness.
Right.
But then I was having all day sickness.
Right.
So where do we draw the line between morning sickness and HG?
Okay.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't like the term morning sickness.
Yeah.
Because it's even normal vomiting in vomiting in pregnancy. Yeah. Usually is not only in the morning.
Okay.
Can be at any time of the day.
Yes.
So I just call it nausea and vomiting, not morning sickness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when will you be concerned that your nausea and vomiting in pregnancy is abnormal? When would you think, okay, maybe I need to see a doctor or talk to someone about this? That's if you're vomiting more than 3 times a day.
Wow.
If you're nauseated for a total of more than 3 or 4 hours in a day. If you're retching, like, you know, when you have the dry heaves, but nothing is coming out. If you're doing that for like more than 4 times a day, then you might get concerned. Also, if you see blood or streaks of blood in your vomit, that's concerning. If you can tell that you're dehydrated, like your mouth is dry, your skin is dry, that's also a sign that something could be going wrong and you should probably see a healthcare professional.
I really wish I knew that in my first pregnancy, because I was just like, hey, this is how we die.
Like how many times a day were you vomiting? Like
at
on
least
average?
Four.
Yeah.
At least for all day sickness. Nothing could stay in water. So it's weird that in my second pregnancy, when I was being discharged, then the discharge note is when they write what you are sick.
Right.
That's when I saw hypermesis and I was like, so I actually have this thing.
No one told you.
They assumed I knew. I just knew I'm sick.
Yeah.
But not to the point of naming it hypermesis.
Okay.
I didn't know. Didn't know. So it's been relieving to actually know
what's going on.
So is it that some of us don't experience these things and some experience. Is there something special about the bunch of women who go through hypermenses?
Well, there's been a bit of research that has identified an association with a hormone that is normally produced in pregnancy. Mm. So this hormone is called beta HCG. I know we said we're going to stick to layman terms, but this is the only hard thing I'm going to say.
The beta HCG.
Beta HCG, right? So everyone who is pregnant, your placenta is producing that hormone, okay? Now, it's been postulated that women who have HG have really high levels of beta HCG. And it usually starts going high at around 4 weeks to 10 weeks. That's when most people start experiencing these terrible symptoms. But this is not an airtight theory because some women who have HG have normal levels of beta HCG. They've also identified a couple of gene mutations in women who have HG. But we don't know why these specific people have this gene mutation and why some don't.
It's just how you are made.
Yeah, there's a lot of research that still needs to be done to get to the bottom of it. Because so far, we don't have a cure. If you don't know the cause, you can't have a cure. All we can do is treat and manage and hope for the best.
And there's no way to know this hormone is a lot in me until I get pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can't win.
But there's some indications, even before you get pregnant, there might be some indications that you might be at risk of getting HG.
Like
if your mom had HG when she was pregnant with you.
Okay.
You might be at risk. If you have sisters who have had HG, if you're a first-time mom, if you're a very young mom, if you have a history of migraines in the past, if you have a history of diabetes, if you have a history of motion sickness, even before pregnancy, if you have a history of asthma, funny enough, and also if you've tried taking the birth control pill in the past and you are not able to continue because of nausea and vomiting, it might be an indication that you might have HG when you're pregnant.
Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. That's very interesting. So... Yeah. If I have HG, is there a risk for me? I know for mine, it's led to other things like gastritis.
Right.
Because of how extreme the vomiting and everything just became worse.
Yeah.
Is there a risk that you as a mom are exposed to? Other than maybe gastritis. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So... the severe nausea and vomiting can lead to dehydration, right?
Yeah.
That can lead to your kidneys failing.
Ooh.
Okay. So you're going to start experiencing that you're peeing less. Mm. And the small amount of pee that you have is really dark and concentrated. That's an indication. You can even go into liver failure. Your eyes can start yellowing with jaundice. You can even have severe deficiency of vitamins like vitamin B1. Which can lead to a situation of confusion, vision problems, and even blindness. You can experience psychological distress, depression, anxiety,
I feel like you're describing me.
Really?
In the first 4 months, yeah.
Ole.
Yeah.
Ole.
Yeah.
You can even go into a coma and you can die, okay? If this condition is not treated well and appropriately by an experienced professional.
Okay. And are there any risks to the baby? Because as moms, we tend to worry about the pregnancy even more.
Yes, yeah. I've noticed. There are risks to the baby. There's a risk of baby being born too soon. So you can go into labor too early. And that baby will most likely have a low birth weight, which puts them at risk of other things in the future. In the end, if all else fails, we can even have to start having the discussion about terminating the pregnancy to save your life. So that will definitely...
I've seen it in a lot of YouTube videos where it had to be terminated to save the mother.
Yes. Yes.
It's a very conflicting...
You can imagine how difficult that decision
is. Difficult. So one of the things that was making me think I don't have HG... is because it didn't go for 9 months. I thought it's only hypermesis if it goes to 9 months. And mine is to last 4 months. Is that just a myth?
That's inaccurate. I would say it's a myth, but it's not accurate.
Yeah.
HG usually resolves after the first trimester, so by about 14 weeks. But sometimes it extends to up to 22 weeks. Sometimes it extends to the entirety of the pregnancy. So you can't, we don't say that it's a specific time period. As long as you have the symptoms and you fit within the criteria, then it's HG.
Okay. Are there tests done or you rely on symptoms to diagnose the patient?
So it's actually a clinical diagnosis, like you said. So all we need is to talk to you. That's called taking your history and do a quick examination and weigh you. And that's enough to make a diagnosis. But what we do are other tests, which are called supportive tests, to estimate the severity of the condition and also to rule out other causes of nausea and vomiting in pregnancy, right? Because it could be a urine infection that's causing this. It could be a gallbladder problem. It could be gastritis like you had, although yours was as a cause of HG. It could be due to liver disease. It could be due to your thyroid or your pancreas. So we have to make sure everything else is normal before we say this is simply HG due to the pregnancy.
Okay. Makes sense. And now that it's a disease that people are not so sure what is causing it in some women, what are some of the available ways that you as medical practitioners manage the disease?
Right.
Yeah.
After diagnosis,
yes.
You mean?
Yes.
So once you're diagnosed, we treat your symptoms and also prevent bad outcomes. Okay. So if you're dehydrated, you're going to most likely be put on an infusion, a drip to get fluids to rehydrate you. You're going to be given medication depending on the severity of your nausea. We want to stop the nausea and vomiting, right? So we might give you pills or if you're not able to even retain medication, then we might have to give you the medication through a vein. Okay. If you're not able to eat at all, we might have to put in a tube that goes through your nose to your stomach to feed you. And sometimes even that, it can get there. And sometimes even that doesn't work. You're still vomiting. We might have to give you what we call parenteral nutrition, which is whereby you're given nutrition through the vein. So it's a white liquid that's normally given through the vein to sustain you.
I have flashbacks of IV treatment. I remember even a time I couldn't keep the oral medication and then I had to get admitted.
Right.
You feel better then it comes back after discharge. It's quite frustrating because it seems like there's no way to 100% treat it.
Yeah.
It's just to manage it.
Is
that accurate?
It is.
Oh,
it is.
Sad.
Yeah, and how was that on your finances? Did you
my insurance ran out in the first trimester.
Actually, it happens.
Yeah.
Insurance depletion, right?
Because you're still now admitted under maternity cover.
Exactly.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
It's difficult.
But glad we made it through. I know there are people going through it for 9 months.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine the mental.
9 months and beyond.
It is. And beyond?
Yeah.
After birth?
Yes.
No way, please.
We usually assume that as soon as you deliver, you're free,
normal.
And dry. But unfortunately, it can actually persist for months and even years. Although it's to a lesser degree, it's not so severe.
Yeah.
But you'll have, you know, random episodes of nausea and vomiting maybe once or twice a day for several years. Right.
For me, actually came back in the third trimester.
The
nausea, vomiting.
Yeah, that happens a lot as well.
Yeah, it still happens. It's just less as it was in the first.
Yeah, it gets a bit better.
And then there's something you also mentioned before we shot, and it's interesting that if you had it in the first one, you're likely to have it again.
Yes. One of the risk factors of having HG is if you have had it in a previous pregnancy.
Yeah.
And it tends to get more severe in
the
subsequent pregnancies.
Yeah.
But it's not really, some women decide, oh, is that right? I'm never getting pregnant again. But some women are able to still do what they want to do for their family size.
You still have to. It's like you have no choice either way.
I don't want to say you have no choice.
Yeah.
It's a difficult decision.
Yeah.
It's a difficult decision.
Because I can imagine those people who suffer from HG and have to work.
Yes.
Employed people. Like, you can't take so yeah. much sick leave.
Even self-employed. Even self-employed. You're going to lose income. Yeah, you can't income. Work.
Yeah.
How many sick offs are you going to ask for? Mm. Will your boss yeah. and your work environment be understanding?
Yeah.
You know?
It's
difficult.
It's very difficult. Mm. So, are there complications it leaves you with, let's say, after birth?
Yes. So, apart from sometimes continuing to have the nausea and vomiting, mm. you might also have depression that lasts beyond the pregnancy, mm. anxiety, mm. PTSD. You mentioned flashbacks, right?
It's like you're talking. I'm now imagining what I was going through in the mm. first time. I didn't know.
Yeah. yeah. That's why we're here today, right?
Yeah.
So some women report that when they see a toilet, they feel nauseated immediately.
Yes.
Because they get flashbacks of all these times they had yes. their head in a yes. toilet vomiting, yes. right? Mm. Some women, even way beyond pregnancy, mm. Report that when they smell some smells you're or see some reminded. Foods, you're reminded of that time.
Yeah.
And also, having had HG puts you at risk of heart disease mm. about 30 years in the future.
Why?
So it's something to think about what? And consider and keep up with your annual checkups. Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah.
How are they related?
I don't know.
It's just one of the things yeah. that
yeah.
can follow some you
some associations that have been made oh. through studies. Mm.
It's a very big revelation. Yeah. I remember now when I got pregnant mm-hmm. and I went for my first checkup, I panicked.
Right.
In fact, the minute I felt nausea, I panicked.
Mm-hmm.
I just went to my doctor and I was like...
Oh, you mean for the second pregnancy?
Yes. Because right. I was like, I'm going to be sick again because mm. I had just bouts of nausea. And immediately she said, you have PTSD. Mm. So I didn't think 3 years later I would yeah. still...
Unless it's addressed, yeah. it's going to stick around.
Yeah, like mm. I had to go for therapy right. so that you can just deal with the second pregnancy. Mm. It's very
because that was a traumatic it's experience.
Very traumatic,
right?
Because you don't know what is happening mm. to you. In fact, for first time moms, I feel it's worse. You yeah. really don't know if it's going to end.
Yeah, and even if you know, it's still traumatic.
It's still
you know,
traumatizing.
It's still there.
Yeah. Mm. So, how does it then? How have medics made it possible for moms to continue with their daily life? Like, are there, other than now the medication, mm. is there a different form of support that the medical fraternity offers to moms to deal with HG?
Yeah, so mm. like you said, psychological support,
mm.
Support groups.
There are support groups in Kenya?
Yeah, there are. So there's one called HG Foundation Africa.
In Kenya?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there's HG Warriors,
mm.
and they are both on Instagram, and they have websites as well.
Mm-hmm.
They also have WhatsApp groups, which you can join and just talk to other women who are going through or have gone through what you're mm. experiencing. To mm. be in a community really helps.
Mm.
And then another form of treatment is lifestyle management,
yeah.
like things you can do from day to day.
Mm.
So, for example, your diet might have to be adjusted a little bit.
Mm.
You might have to eat smaller, frequent meals. Only eat when you're hungry. And then you say to yourself, oh, I'm supposed to be drinking water, and you're trying to chug down liters of water. You might not be able to retain water.
Yep.
But drink anything that you can.
Yeah.
So some women report finding it easier to drink carbonated drinks like Sprite or Crest or Tangawizi.
Mm. I tried all that. Maybe.
You did?
Yeah.
Did they help?
For a season. Like
yeah.
your body accepts it like for a week. Mm-hmm. Then the next week you move on to something else.
Yeah. What about ginger? Did you try chewing on the ginger root?
The ginger tea.
The tea.
For like 2 weeks, my body mm-hmm. accepted. And then once you vomit,
mm-hmm.
you kind of get PTSD now when you see that thing
oh
that made
gosh.
You vomit.
Yes,
so
I realize.
You move to Ribena,
right.
something else. And once you vomit,
mm.
you move on to another thing.
Mm.
That's basically how I survived this second time
yeah.
round. Trying, then
different
when it refuses,
things.
I'm done with it. Yeah.
There's also peppermint tea.
Mm.
There is also avoiding fatty foods, oily,
yeah,
spicy
I took
things.
Boiled foods
yeah.
throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the when you talk of maybe diet and mm-hmm. lifestyle, there are things you can do to avoid it before pregnancy?
One thing that has been noted to help before pregnancy is taking the pregnancy supplements before you actually get pregnant for about 3 months. Okay. That has been shown to help a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah. And also avoiding iron supplements, which are supplements we often prescribe in pregnancy. Mm. But they definitely do cause nausea and vomiting. So we might have to stop them, at least for the period when the HG is getting really bad.
Oh, I've remembered struggling with the balance between taking the hormonal medicine, like progesterone, lufastone, and then dealing with the vomiting.
Right.
So it got to a point the doctor was like, stop everything. Just stop. Yeah. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's not a must. Now we have to just survive.
Yeah. So you're in survival mode, really.
Yeah. Mm. Basically, I feel like you've answered a lot and given a lot of perspective. Is there any aspect you feel we're leaving behind about HG?
There are a few studies. They have not been replicated yet, so we're still not sure. But we found that babies of moms who had HG are also at risk of some things in the future.
Oh.
Like anxiety, like in their adolescent years, autism, ADHD, sleep problems.
Mm.
So these are areas where we definitely need to do more research. And
that's interesting. Yeah. Do you feel it's true that your emotions are passed to the baby? Especially anxiety, because I feel like more HG survivors struggle with anxiety throughout the process.
I wouldn't necessarily say your emotions are passed to the baby, but I think there are quite a number of robust studies that have shown that mothers who experience depression, anxiety, and other mental health conditions while pregnant do have a risk of having children with some mental health issues as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Something to really watch out for.
Yeah.
Whew. Thank you for shedding a lot of light on this topic. I feel like I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
Cautious not to go to number three.
Right. Oh, I have a question for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What would you advise people not to say to someone who is experiencing HG?
Ooh. Don't. I say, I know people mean well, but when you're not close, don't suggest what I should eat.
Right.
I've already tried.
Because they would probably be coming from a good place, if you didn't ask.
Yeah, but it can trigger you because you're just trying to survive.
Yeah.
So there's that aspect. There's the aspect of there are people who are assuming sick. Maybe because I've eaten something bad. There's a lot of ignorance in the area.
There is.
Yeah, so instead of finding the reason, the solution or the reason to justify how I'm feeling, just encourage me to push through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's the best way. Like encourage someone that it will end. Encourage someone to go a day at a time.
Yeah.
Rather than offer quick solutions you think I've not tried or reasons. Yeah, because at some point I was getting irritated when someone says, Amma, is that thing you ate? No, I haven't actually eaten. Yeah, so I'd feel like what helped more was advice to push on, to get better, it will be worth it.
Because
there's joy you would find if you go for an ultrasound and the baby's fine, even if you feel like shit.
Yeah.
You'd find some joy in that. Yeah, so that's one thing I would advise.
That's people. Good advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. No unsolicited advice.
Yeah, and then most of us in HG fear or have anxiety of calling your doctor every time.
Right.
So I really would not call the doctor. The second time it was, how will he help me or the medicine is not working. You're like at a very sorry state.
Yeah.
So one, you're not sure whether there's anything of value your doctor will advise.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yes.
Like how much can they actually do?
How much can they actually do? And that was something in the second round.
Okay.
Because in the first one, I just didn't call. I didn't know I have it.
Yeah.
So I didn't know it was not normal.
Yeah.
But the second time I was like, this thing, I've had it and I know it can go till this week. So why am I calling? But it's also important to call when it's severe.
Yeah.
Because I did call a doctor friend And that's how I ended up in an ambulance. Like, I couldn't see. I couldn't move from my bed. So I was wondering, why can't I stand?
Yeah.
So that's when I called.
Thank God you did.
Yeah. So she quickly called an ambulance. I was so dehydrated. They couldn't even find somewhere to, to do the injection. So
I would definitely advise women to call their doctors. If you think you need to, don't worry about whether it's appropriate or what time it is. It's better to call and be reassured than to call when it's too late or when things are really, really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's valuable advice. I hesitate to just call the doctor.
Call.
Especially at night.
Call. That's our job. It really is our job.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You have to convince me. Even when my appendix was bursting in the first one, I had an appendectomy.
You did?
I had, like, it was the last thing I did now. Because now I can't stand.
Yeah.
And I'm just vomiting. Yeah.
No, it shouldn't be the last thing. It should be the first thing you think. Call.
I'm learning. I hope someone also gets the courage to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we wind up, tell people where they can find you.
You can reach out to me on Instagram.
Thank you so much for having this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Shed light for me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's shed light for someone.
Mm.
What is your final message for someone going through HG?
My final message is, I'm sorry. I know it's hard and difficult.
Yeah.
But I hope you have a medical team that you trust, that you can reach out to anytime. And I hope you find a community of people who can take you through this difficult, difficult period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even as we wind up, one thing I forgot.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how in the old days women did, because something I used to hear, you know, this thing is for privileged people, because back in the day, people would go to the shamba and still vomit. Do you really think it's been there for years? It's just gotten cognizance right now.
Maybe we just know about it more.
Now. Yeah.
And maybe also, maybe something about the way our diet is these days that has made it more prevalent.
Mm.
But I know that even in the past, it was quite an issue.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Women used to die a lot back then because of not having the appropriate treatments.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. Good to know. Good to know. Guys, thank you so much for watching.
Thank you,
Dr. Kenya, for your time and knowledge on this topic.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will help someone because that's the purpose. It will help someone.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you guys for tuning in. Share this episode with someone who's just hanging in there and needs some encouragement or information on how to tackle HG. Yeah. Until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.